I'm really interested in the church learning a couple of things these days. And by the church, I mean all the churches. I'm part of the tribe called Anglican, uniquely, unabashedly, sometimes the Episcopal Church. But, I think 800,000 of us gathered for worship in the Episcopal Church in the United States last year. We got a lot to learn from our brothers and sisters, right? I think we're holding our own in like the sixth, sometimes it's third, sometimes it's sixth fastest growing de-church city in the nation, you know, which is Orlando. Remember when everybody went to church in the 80s and 90s, you know? What happened? Well, they kind of moved. That's what happened. And when they moved, they just didn't resettle in the church. They just kind of got disconnected. I mean, anyway, that's a tangent. You can pick up your book called De-Churched afterwards tonight if you want to study more about this. But we have a lot to learn about church health, church growth, all those things. But I love this passage right here that reminds us what apostolic ministry looks like. I mean, look at what Jesus does. I mean, these men have been with him not that long. You in this room might have had more time to reflect on the life and the message and person, the accomplishment of Jesus than these disciples have. Those of you who've been in walking together in Christ in this fellowship for decades knew a whole lot more than these jokers did. Think about that. And these are the 12. And they're sent out two by two, but with authority. Think about this. I mean, what Jesus has done is made his ministry abundantly and immediately relevant to so many more people beyond his reach and his vision and his actual presence, embodied presence in the incarnation. Through his apostles, through these precious ones who were just trying to figure out the significance of following him and the significance of him. What he thought about himself, what he was up to. We'll see, especially in Mark's gospel, that it's often an adventure and missing the point with these 12. But here's what happened in Mark 6. The organization is kind of flat and fluid. It's pretty quick, pretty simple, and quite permissive. Jesus said, just go. Just go and proclaim this gospel and cast out all the demons that rear their heads and anoint with oil anybody who's sick and cure them. And they did so. It was very powerful. And I don't think that's a dispensation. I think that's still the nature of apostolic ministry today. Is ours to share with our bishop in this diocese, in this parish, in this city. I just want to say that first. But in the parish, the ministry that we're more likely to see one generation after the next is the way that the reconciling love of God works in one family after the next. Like in Genesis. Joseph could not control himself any longer in front of all those who stood by him, and then he cried out. And why did he cry out? Well, because he had done some work. He had walked through his story, its most painful parts. He had bravely stood in, especially since he saw his brothers, and especially now that his brothers are in front of him. Do you remember what his brothers did to him? What did they do? They threw him into a pit. They were tired of their cocky little brother. They were tired of him telling them about all his dreams, about how all of them were going to bow down before him, and that he was the star of the family, and that he was the one that their father really loved, probably, etc. They're done with him. They sell him into slavery. They lie to his father. He's dead. He's as good as dead. They brought back that coat of many colors, laid it at his father's feet, broke their father's heart. Changed the family story instantly. Talk about trespasses. He'd been hit with the bus. The bus then that all of his brothers were on backed up over him. And then he pulled ahead again. And then backed up over him again. And then turned around right on his head and then left in the dust. What we see here in Genesis 45 is a story retold according to the wisdom and grace of God. What we often need to do in our hearts is go back to the disappointment or the disaster, to the trespass, as painful as it might be, to go back and allow the Lord Jesus to meet us in that painful moment in our family story. Or we need to have the courage to return to that moment, maybe in the life of a parish, or maybe in the life of a relationship. And burying a child can do more than just upset a marriage. It can put one to death. There's lots of painful moments in your lives and mine. And tonight we're invited to do the deep work that often gets done in a parish, which is to allow the Lord Jesus to tell our story in a different way. To bind it together in a book with His truth and with His grace. With His power and His mercy. With His wisdom and His boundless love. He is ready to do that deep work of healing in your life tonight. He's ready to go back with you to the painful part of your family story, of your story and your life. Forget maybe thinking about your family of origin or thinking about some of those things is just a little too much. And right now you're just here about one other thing. Well, that's fine. Let's start there. Let's start with what's on top. But tonight there are people that sit around you that can be a witness to God's healing presence tonight in your lives and in mine.